keeping tabs on the general election for New York City mayor. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Sonali.
My guest has been Jagpreet Singh, political director for Drumbeats. Drumbeats is a sibling organization of Drum, which stands for Desis Rising Up and Moving. Drumbeats builds on its legacy of organizing working-class Indo-Caribbean and South Asian communities to build movements. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar, host and executive producer of Rising Up with Sonali, an independently produced subscriber-supported program nationally syndicated to radio stations, free speech TV, and podcast platforms.
Klein, and you are listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM.
Do you like discovering new music and reconnecting with some older but perhaps forgotten favorites? Then look no further. Tune into The Listening Room with host Timothy P. every other Thursday at 3 in the morning for a genre-bending 2.5-hour show where you never know what you might hear next, but you will be sure to be engaged and entertained.
One, two, three, four.
Y'all ready for this?
Ladies and gentlemen.
To start off the show with a song that is actually it's like 21 minutes long, but I wasn't going to play that much of it. It is from an artist by the name of Sun Ra, landmark iconic figure in the world of jazz. He spent some time teaching and lecturing at UC Berkeley. Many people consider him an important cornerstone in the concept of Afrofuturism. And he did a movie here called Space is the Place, which was some of the stuff that you just heard. That was the song. Well, lo and behold, every year they have a Black Futures Ball here in the city of Oakland. And the person behind this vision, behind this landmark event that they do, it is a destination place. We welcome from East Oakland Youth Development Center, Selena Wilson. Welcome to the show. How you doing?
Thank you, David D. I'm doing
I'm doing well. I'm doing wonderfully, given all the energy of the ancestors and the elders, despite these challenging times that we're in, and very excited to talk about something joyful today, which is the Black Futures Ball.
So usually when we have you on, we also have a whole bunch of other folks on, because we're like on a Black Futures, you know, Afro Future thread, and we're talking music and everything that's happening, from Ryan Coogler Sinners on up to, you know, the Superman movie that just came out. You know, anything that's happening, we're chopping it up. Today is just you solo. We don't have the whole crew, but
I know.
But you can hold court by yourself. Let's talk a little bit about the impetus behind this Black Futures Ball, celebrating Afrofuturism, and why Sun Ra this time as a focus.
Yeah, so we created the Black Futures Ball as we were reimagining how we wanted to really celebrate our scholarship recipients. The main purpose of this event is to raise funds for our scholars. Currently, we give out $150,000 or more a year in college scholarships. So coming out of shelter in place and thinking about what it could mean to really bring people together to celebrate, to raise funds for a good cause, but to have a great time. We were really inspired at the time by Ryan Coogler's work, Black Panther 2 was coming out, Wakanda Forever. And just thinking about all of the inspiration that Afrofuturism brings to bear, which to us is really about thinking, you know, how do we carry forward the tradition of our elders and our ancestors, and, you know, take that inspiration of our past, but also really engage in radical imagination as we're thinking about dreaming up our futures. So this year, when we were thinking about themes, we were really very inspired by Sun Ra, who made this film, Space is the Place, film in Oakland back in the 70s, and really thinking about at a time where it can feel so hopeless. And I think sometimes people, you know, there's so many jokes online, so many memes about wishing that we could be abducted by aliens, right? Really thinking about, like, how do we create our own spaces? How do we, you know, really think about what it could mean to engage in this kind of visionary dream work of creating spaces like the Black Futures Ball, where we are centering our joy? Add to that just the amazing music, the fashion, all of the things that Sun Ra really brought to bear in the culture of Afrofuturism. We're really excited this year to, you know, be inspired by this legend. And we didn't even know at the time that the Sun Ra Orchestra will be performing that very weekend in the Bay Area. So it was in that way, I think, a harmonic convergence.
Right. The ancestors speaking and making it happen. You know, just the whole thing with Sun Ra and the Space is the Place, and then 2 years later, because that film was done in 74, 2 years later, you have the landmark event at the Oakland Coliseum with the landing of the mothership. So, you know, that famous thing, they did it in Oakland, and then they did it in L.A., and they put it on an album. There is that dance with wanting to be in space. And then, of course, you know, you fast forward 40 years later, Ryan Coogler doing Black Panther. And of course, the spaceship is right over here in West Oakland. So, you know, you work with youth at East Oakland Youth Development Center. And seeing this type of legacy of imagination, like, where, you know, finding a better place, finding a better space, and letting all that come to bear. The kids you work with, how do they see, you know, their future, their imagination riveted and expansive, or is it challenging? Because many people say the imagination has been truncated with all the gadgets and all the things that we have at our fingertips. People don't imagine as much anymore.
Yeah, I think, you know, as with all things, I think that there's a continuum. I think that certainly we have people of all ages, including young people, who are so discouraged right now that it can be difficult to imagine a better future. But on the other end, we have
young people. Let me ask you, what are they discouraged about? What are they finding discouraging?
Oh, well, I mean, I think right now, with the present administration making decisions that, you know, very short term and immediate, and then also long term, threaten their future or leave them feeling threatened. You know, you're talking about slashing the Department of Education. So you have folks elected openly saying we want to divest from your education. That's mm-hmm. very discouraging. You have ICE raids in the streets. You have, environmental deregulation, and our young people are very passionate about climate change because we recognize and they recognize that the future of our Earth's ecosystem affects them disproportionately. And so these things can be very discouraging, certainly. Then you add some of the local challenges that we have, budget deficits at every level from, you know, our school district to our city, county and state also making some very difficult decisions around budget cuts. So I think that can be a very discouraging thing. That being said, I think on the opposite end, a lot of our young people are thinking well beyond the confines of the current system because they don't believe that it works or serves them. So they really, truly do believe, many of our young people, that there's room and a need and a demand for radical change, radical shifts in how we do everything, from schooling to career to, how we govern ourselves as people. All of these things, I think they're thinking outside of the box. And I think mm-hmm. that while technology definitely has had some negative impacts on our young people's imagination, there are also those who are in spaces where there's a balance. Like at EOYDC, we only allow very limited time for them to be on their device, if at all. Our elementary school students are not allowed to be on phones at all. So those who have the opportunity to take extended breaks from technology, then when they are on technology, they're able to leverage that to actually expand the possibilities of their imagination. And they're thinking of all kind of creative things. We got young people out here, and I don't know if you've seen some of it, finding cures in their teenage years. And we have young people locally in the Bay Area doing amazing things, coming up with amazing solutions to problems. Some of our own young people building their own curriculums. We have our partners at Hidden Genius. They're building their own apps. We have young people right now interning with Highwave. A shout out to Bosco and Miles and all those, building their own art, leveraging AI. So there's a lot of different ways that we can look at it. And I have to at the end of the day, let hope win and believe that it's going to be the radical imagination that wins in the end.
You know, what you say is encouraging. We just did this huge thing in San Francisco, you know, where they had a whole evening talking about AI and all that. And that was encouraging as well to see all the stuff that people were bringing to the table. And as you were talking, Selena, I'm thinking like, you know, an onslaught of hopelessness being directed at us. You know, you described these conditions and these challenges, and you're sitting there going, how are we going to overcome it? But I'm just thinking like, I came up at a time where you had similar hopelessness. You know, Nixon was in the White House, war on drugs, defunding of everything, yada, yada, yada. And out of that, people creative, you know, they created hip hop, you know, that was the imagination. In DC, they created go-go. And you saw all these things, these music movements that came out of it. And so I guess when we're up against the wall, we're going to find a way. Even when people don't think we'll be able to find a way, we'll make a way out of no way. And so you talking about what your youth are doing and flipping the script, you know, that gives hope. And we should fan those flames and nurture it. I think if there's anything, in the past, there were people that didn't nurture that, you know, that creativity. They were looking at it and being like, nah, you know, get in the classroom and just do reading, writing, and arithmetic and leave all this other stuff alone. But I think we probably learned those lessons to make them, to allow space to do both, right?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, that's one of the things that we really, really center is holistic development. We really have to focus on developing the whole child, the whole young person, that creative side, their physical, mental, emotional wellness and health and all of these things. And, you know, I remind folks that at the end of the day, this event is a fundraiser and it's going to benefit our young people and allow us to support them monetarily. Because again, as some of these things are getting slashed, I've made a commitment to not cutting our scholarship fund, not reducing the supports that we're giving our young people to pursue their post-secondary education. So I definitely encourage people to buy a ticket. If you can't come, donate. It's a great cause and it's a great time. We're going to have it for the third time at the Chabot Space and Science Center. So we're able to transform that space and really create this dope, super Oakland, super Afrofuturistic, vibey space. It's amazing. And you got to be there to really know what I'm talking about. You got to experience it.
No, you describe some of it. I mean, I remember I went to the first one and I mean, people came dressed out. Do you all still hold the contest to see who is the most Afrofuturistic? Because there's a lot of people that got busy with their attire.
Oh, yes. Some people have been planning their outfits for months, including myself.
That's what I'm saying. You got busy with it.
Oh, yeah. It's a good time. So the best way that I could describe it is it's like the Met Gala meets Afropunk meets Comic-Con meets Gala. So we have different categories of fashion. Some people come super space themed. We've had people bring inflated aliens, where, you know, Kente, Darth Vader masks, all kind of stuff. We have some people who come in cosplay. We have some folks who come extremely ancestrally, you know, African attire down. And then there are some folks who, you know, they want to just come in a regular suit or a regular gown. Nothing wrong with that. But we want people to have fun with it. And this year, we're going to be working with the Black Cultural Zone to host some special Acoma markets where folks can come through and buy their gear. We'll also have some jewelry making workshops. And so we're finalizing the date. It will be coming in a few weeks. So, well, not a few weeks, but actually about a week and a half. So make sure folks are looking out on social media. Both EOYDC and Black Cultural Zone pages will be promoting that. If you're still trying to figure out what to wear, we'll have something for you. But it's an amazing time. We want people to, the only rule I say for dress code is have fun with it.
I hear you. Don't take yourself too serious.
Definitely.
So let's come back to the Sun Ra aspect. Any special things you'll be doing to pay tribute to that movie? I know you said the orchestra is in town that weekend. Which is, in this thing I should mention, is August 2nd. Is that the date?
Yes, it's Saturday, August 2nd. Our VIP reception starts at 6 p.m. Doors for our general admission open at 8 p.m., goes through midnight. Good fun time. And yes, the orchestra is going to be in town. I cannot say for sure whether or not they'll make a special guest appearance, but we would love to have them as our guests of honor. But we will be doing a very special, amazing tribute to Sun Ra and Space is the Place itself. I'll leave the details to be a surprise, but that there's definitely going to be an homage to Sun Ra, right, and that historical Oakland-based film at the event. And you know what's interesting? I don't know if you've watched Mountain Head. But Mountain Head, it has a series of characters that are like an amalgamation of like the Elons and the Jeff Bezoses, if you will, and right, all the kind of like super, super wealthy men who, for all intents and purposes, seem to control so much of everything in our world in terms of commerce and influence on government and all of this. And it was a satire that looked at an extreme situation and how these ultra wealthy folks were responding to a global crisis that they essentially created, right? And so it's like trying to be both the you know, fireman and the arson, right? And so it was a really interesting step back, and I encourage people to watch that and take a look. And what I realize is that in many instances, there is a sort of kind of, for lack of a better word, God complex that some people develop once you amass a certain amount of wealth and power.
Oh, I'm glad you said that. People forget about that term.
Yes.
God complex. First time I heard it, not to cut you off, Last Poets, and then Public Enemy years later did a remake of that song with the same type of sentiment. God complex. So I don't mean to cut you off, but we need to remember that's what we're watching. People have God complexes.
Well, right. And I think that it's very important that we don't underestimate, like, that sometimes everyone feels justified in their actions is the thing that can be scary, right? Like, at the end of the day, if you look at this film, like, you don't have a bunch of billionaires that are like, oh, we want to sit back and destroy the world because we want to destroy the world for fun. It's, we think that we know best for all of humanity. Mm-hmm. And so because we know best for all of humanity, we're going to do what it takes to be in a position where we're able to take over and make the decisions because we know best, right? And I think that that is something that we have to all be wary of, is this idea that, yeah, it can be really easy when you amass this kind of power, wealth, influence, to get to that place where you feel superhuman. And in a place like the Bay Area, where we have such a high concentration of, you know, Silicon Valley and these places of influence, we have to do what we can to really make sure that we as a collective are influencing those spaces. So that's why I hopped at the chance to go to that Open AI commission meeting to just be say, like, hey, here's what the collective thinks. Like, Sam Altman himself has warned us that AI has the power to destroy humanity. And when ChatGPT first started, one of their promises was that they would not engage in defense. And lo and behold, in the past month, they have signed a $200 million contract with the Department of Defense, right? And so it's very easy for folks to, kind of slide down a slippery slope. And that's where, as a collective, we have to hold folks accountable. And how does this go back to Superman and sci-fi and all of these things? At the end of the day, again, if you look at that whole speech that Lex Luthor and Superman had at the end, these are flawed human beings with a tremendous amount of power. And we have to ensure, it took more than Superman to save the day, right?
Yes.
You had to have Krypton, Mr. Terrific, Green Lantern, Hot Girl, all these other folks slide through. They had to work together at the end of the day. And I think that's one of the things that was great about this Superman movie. They showed that, like, he might be super powerful, but he could not do this on his own. It took a collective effort. And I think that's what we have to remind ourselves. Like, it feels very discouraging. You have a small group of people with tremendous power, but there are more of us in this world that want to keep education intact for our kids, who want to make sure that folks who are seeking refuge are able to do so safely, who want to protect our environment. So I think that's one of the other things that we have to remind our young people, is it may seem daunting and like we can't win, but we can if we all come together. That's the key.
Right. And what we see people attempting to do is to divide us. And we got to be, we got to ask the question, well, why would you want to do that? Why would you tell me not to help somebody who's in trouble? You see what I'm saying? Why would you tell me to stay out of East Oakland and just stay by the lake and, you know, those type of things? And then you realize, like, they know that if the people on the west side come together with the people on the east side, then that's going to be the majority, and that's going to be able to overcome the folks that may be sitting on a mountaintop somewhere trying to control everything. And,
yes,
you know, that could be a metaphor for you know, men and women coming together, straight and gay, you know, black and white or brown and black, you know, all that. You just see the attempt to keep people in silos. And nah, I'm trying to team up with you.
So exactly. And that is so, I'm so glad you said that, because yeah, the divide and conquer strategy has been real. And it's been very interesting to see the ways in which certain recent controversies are bringing together strange bedfellows. So you have people like Candace Owens and Mark Lamont Hill agreeing on, you know, Palestine. You have, right. You know, so very strange bedfellows. You have extreme right and extreme left agreeing on the handling of the Epstein case, right? So I think that what's ironic is that at the end of the day, when we look at the different responses to marginalization, whether it's, you know, extreme conservatism or progressiveness or whatever it is, it's very hard to sustain the level of division that has been so, I guess, artfully crafted in this age of information, right? To me, like, to sustain it long term, like, there's more and more people, I think, waking up. And yes, right. you still see like extreme division, but I remain hopeful. I remain hopeful that as time progresses, as we're exposed to more information, we can start to see the commonalities that you might be being oppressed through tools like ICE, and I might be being oppressed through tools like gentrification via, you know, decade-long redlining and all the things that came with it. But at the end of the day, it's a similar result. So how do we come together?
Right. And we see it's coming from the same apparatus, if you will.
Those yes, and that at oppression. The end of the day, it's the same few that continue to benefit. And yeah. So, you know, it's like that movie, going back to sci-fi, Don't Look Up. Literally, you know, like they meant in the movie, the analogy they use is the asteroid, but it's even like politically, they're banking like, don't look up, look next yeah. to you. That's the problem. Don't look up. Don't look at the power sources. Look up. Don't, you know, look at the person next to you. They're the problem. Fight each other.
Well, I know time is short, and I appreciate the fact that, you know, over at EYODC, you keep the imagination of the folks that you're with churning. You all have been solution oriented, so they shut down departments of education and attack all these things would help give folks a pathway. You all have been blazing one, and the Afro Futures Ball is just one of the many things you all do to do that. So give people the date and time in which this will happen.
Yes, so this is going to happen on Saturday, August 2nd at Chabot Space and Science Center. VIP doors open at 6 p.m. General admission opens at 8 p.m. It runs through midnight. We encourage folks to go to our website or any of our socials to get information. And make sure you follow our socials as well for updates. We'll be announcing some very special collaborations with Black Cultural Zone for those who are still looking for an outfit. So definitely follow us.
Okay. Well, I'm going to roll through. I'm going to look at pictures from the first one. I think I'm going to steal your costume from there.
Yes. Come on through. And I also encourage folks, if you want some fashion inspo, we'll be making some fashion inspo posts. But you can also Google Sun Ra. That brother was bad with his fashion. So take a look. He has some amazing looks.
Oh yeah, that's
to
right.
To be inspired by.
I might have to look at my Sun Ra photos yes. and be like, let me see if I can do this, this, that, and the third. Yes. So we will see you on Saturday the 2nd. Selena Wilson, East Oakland Youth Development Center, the Black Futures Ball, the 4th annual one. We'll be on the lookout. We're going to take a break on Hard Knock Radio. We'll be right back.
Oh, thanks, man. Well, why don't you spit some of that game you be talking about, player?
You know what you're saying.
We'll do it.
Turn up the beat and let me come with some game, man. Talking about these groupies who be trying to claim the fame, man. But it's a waste of time because, man, we only
the player with some G-A-M-E, but that ain't it. Cause I'm serving dick to the who walk the tight and straight, loving the hits that crest I slam. Brothers running scams, and I done make a faithful girl cheating on her man. Plus that Dutcher day and the candy paint, and the way cool bottle being jaded I drank. And when the youngs will take a hit, you can't level with me. I'm having church girls think I got the devil in me. It ain't over, fool. It gets dope, but fly to y'all post good. Now we on the sofa, legs all open like a TV antenna. Cause the youngster get wild when I'm going up in the. What's really going on when you leave home? My late nights tell a hype every time you're gone. You better lock baby up and go to sleep with your gap. Cause as she page me, then man, I'm at that. And all I need is just one beat. And I'ma pick your lady up when you sleep. Cause I'm sick with this. I'm so sick with this. Yeah, hopefully that's like this. She ain't mine, so if she don't mind, then everything's fine. And that's how I get sick with this. That's how these fools be trying to be acting, popping at the mouth. Hate to see me macking, ain't no tripping in my pimping. So it's funny how they love to hate the pimping. I'm coming up in a bank, check it, brother. Back up off the tip of the youngster. You say this ain't no hit, but it made me this. I'm known to have a game to have these women know it. Cause now a woman with a yacht, she'll be unemployed. But when we first meet, I give you full respect. I'll be the sweetest young brother that you ever met. But don't think that I'm not on the scandalous tip. I'm taking male food stamps, check even with tricking on the.
Voice you just heard on a song off a landmark album called The Legal Business is that of Mac Maul. Mac Maul out of Vallejo, a legend at this point in time, an OG. You know, when I first met you, you was a young G. Now it's OG, man. You're in that status, man. I'm sure it's kind of weird because people walk up to you and be like, what up, OG? What up, Unc? And you're like,
man, thank God. Thank God, because the worst part about getting old is not getting old. You feel me? And we've been blessed to, man, to get them grades. You feel me?
We're talking with Mac Maul, artist extraordinaire. I should also say an author, because you put out a book called My Opinion.
Self-published author. I have a book right now on Amazon called My Opinion. Much props to my folks from Detroit, Rule Jewel. He gave me the game to self-publish. So shout out to him.
What was that book about, for people who don't know? Give us a little bit of 101 on My Opinion.
If I was to say what my book is about, it's about basically chasing your dreams and what happens when you actually catch them.
Hmm. And, you know, what lesson would you impart on people? Because it sounds like somebody who took some time to reflect and, is, you know, as you said, somebody gave you some game, you're giving them some game.
God protect babies and fools. And
what's
I have
that
been
again?
Both, you feel me? But the book is basically about a story, you know, it's an American story. It's about a youngster who dreams and, you know, who chase the dreams and everything that comes with that, actually catching, having a record out when you, writing a record when you're 15 years old, having it out when you're 16 years old, and just growing up in hip hop, you know, God bless me to be by some of the biggest, Mac Dre, Tupac, Ray Love, you feel me, Too Short, E-40, Eazy-E, Above the Law, everybody, man. And it's basically, it's a story like Rocky, chasing your dreams and what happened when you catch me. You feel me?
Real talk. You know, right now, a lot of people are looking back at histories because some of it has been erased, some of it has been overlooked. And we talk about the Bay. You know, the Bay has a history, but a lot of times we focus on San Francisco, we focus on Oakland, where I'm at. But there's a rich legacy in Vallejo, And, you know, sometimes when we talk with 40 or somebody, we'll get, you know, we'll get some of that history. You know, they'll remind us Sly Stone and Larry Graham and Can Function and all that. Yourself being a part of that, Mac Dre, of course. But, you know, for you, having a chance to look back at least a good 30 years, what part of Vallejo history do you feel is missing, especially when we talk about the contributions it's made to music or hip hop in general?
I mean, as you know, because you're old enough to remember when a lot of times they didn't want to consider the Bay, Vallejo, the Bay.
Yeah.
But me, Selly Cell, Be Legit, Mac Dre, Reek Daddy, Coolio, Selly Cell, The Mafia, Little Bruce, we made it to where, you know, you can say you from Vallejo and be proud. But not only that, because if you watched hip-hop, Bay Area hip-hop through these years, we have been the workhorses. You feel me? We have been the stars, even now, with the SOBs and the, what's my youngster name? Oh my God, from College Park, LaRussell.
The LaRussell, that's right.
We've been some of the biggest artists, and not to mention what E-40 been doing. Mac Dre is a guy, you feel me? We've been holding it down for the Bay. You know what I mean? We've been working quietly, bringing platinum plaques for the whole Bay Area. So Vallejo been kind of holding it down, you know what I mean? And it's an honor and a pleasure to be a part of that, you feel me, along with the brothers, and we just been doing our thing.
Definitely. One thing that I think needs to be mentioned, I mean, it's a Bay Area thing, but I think Vallejo is dug in deep with respect to that. We were just talking off air and you were saying, you know, you're going to be performing, celebrating 30 years of one of your albums, Illegal Business, and then looking at and doing it with a live band. So, you
not
know,
we doing it with a live band, but doing it at Yoshi.
Yes.
You feel me? The only Yoshis that standing, it was two Yoshis, one in Fillmore, the Harlem of the Bay, and the one in Oakland. And to be one of the only Vallejo rappers to actually do it in a historic Bay Area venue, I mean, it's a beautiful thing. And to do it with a live band, it's like a thank you to everybody who's been supporting me all these years.
Real talk, what I was thinking about is just the fact that, you know, we're old enough to remember where a lot of people were saying that in order for it to be real hip-hop, it had to be two turntables and a mic. And a lot of people from the Bay early on, you know, from your Ann Banks to your Al Eatons to your Kyrie's,
Dave,
all those folks were...
remember DJ Cease, may you rest in peace.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. That's how we started. You feel me? That's how we started. But, like, I feel blessed to even be able to be here and to be relevant and to be a working MC. See, it's a lot of rappers that's sitting on their couch. You feel me?
Yeah.
But me, RBL, Be Legit, we work. We be all over the country getting down. You know what I mean? Getting money for singing songs that we made 30 years ago. And it's an honor and a pleasure. Because I feel like us and the audience grew up together. You feel me? We started as little kids, grew up, got jobs and families and responsibilities, and we still here. You feel me?
No, I definitely do. I want to come back to just the live music aspect, you know, because that is something that a lot of people are kind of relishing in. And what I was getting at is that I give Vallejo, you know, props for being early on. Before there was even a Roots, a lot of people was playing with the live instrumentation and rolling that way. And, you know, I remember talking with 40 and he was like, man, if you listen to my music, it's based upon the time I was in a band. I was like, you was in a band. And it's like, yeah, you know, played instruments,
Grambling,
you know, my what, you know, Grambling. Yeah. So I wanted to.
Studio Tone. Shout out to Kyrie. Shout out to Can Function. Sly Stone, Ike Turner. We come from a rich musical background. All of our producers were in bands and stuff like that. You feel me? They are the sons of the peak. They are the sons of Confunction. So we grew up into that. You feel me? A lot of it started in the church. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That was our thing. We wasn't, you know, we had live musicians more than we had samples.
Yeah.
You feel me? Shout out to Kyrie. Shout out to Studio Tone. Shout out to LaVitti. You know what I mean? Sugar T. We come from the church. We come from a rich musical background, and we just put it into rap.
Real talk, you know, and as you mentioned, I remember Confunction was producing a lot of Hammer stuff as well as a number of other artists. So, yeah, there's something in the water. Is there something in the water or just...
Oh, definitely. I think it's because we are the last bridge in the bay, the Carthage Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me? So, you know, we kind of like, we was like on an island and we had to get our thing together to be respected. So right. That's why all of us, you know what I mean, it's just boisterous and we get out there, you feel me, and hold it down. We had to make people because we wasn't in one of the cities like Oakland or Frisco or whatever. But if you look at the history, if you look at the books, we've been holding it down. We got a lot of stuff coming from the Bay or coming from Vallejo, you know what I mean? And it comes from our rich musical history.
Right. One other group, you know, because you mentioned a whole lot. In Too Deep is out of there, too.
In Too Deep is a big part of my career. Johnny Z,
really?
You know what I mean? Was one of the first studios that I recorded at. You know, shout out to Art. You know what I mean? Shout out to Uncle Miami. You know, a lot of stuff comes through them. You know what I mean? Shout out to Ray Love. You feel me? Ray Love was the first person to put me on the stage. I think I met you the first time with Ray Love.
Probably. Ray, the Raven, you know what I mean? OGG. Yeah.
When I was a little dude. But it's just, you know, I feel like I'm, you know, it's a blessing to be a part of the rich history, musical history of the Bay Area. You know what I mean? I am a student of J. King. You feel me? And all these big dudes who really gave us the game. MC Hammer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Straight up. I'm a student of him. I'm a student of Sha G. I'm a student of Dwayne Wiggins. You feel me?
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Because you started out putting out your first record at 15. And one thing that nobody could ever deny is that you was an MC. It wasn't like, oh, he just putting words together. But you was always a spitter. How'd you get your writing process, your flow together, you know, what's the Mac Maul process in terms of just putting, you know, your ideas to pen or paper and into, you know, into a record?
I mean, first of all, you know, I'm of the generation where you had to actually have talent. And I'm a third generation Mac. The first generation being Michael Robinson, who made The Game of Stick, may he rest in peace. Second generation of Mac Dre, you know, and I'm the third generation. So these are people who I looked up to and who I wanted to be like, even the E-40s, you know what I mean? My big cousin, E-40, D-Shot, and all them. So we come from like, you know, I wanted to be Magic Mike and Calvin T. You feel me?
Oh, wow.
Those
you went
my
there.
Heroes and people who I looked up to. I wanted to see a game like Ice-T, who I just opened up for last week. So it was like, you know, we had, you know, good role models and good people to look up to. So for me, I wanted to emulate the people who I looked up to. You know what I mean? Kind of like if you play basketball, get like me.
Right.
You know what I mean? So in order for me to even pick up the microphone, I had to be just as good or better than the people who I looked up to. So I just, you know, and shout out to my mother, you feel me? I used to be on Punishment a lot, reading Don Goins' book. You feel me?
Okay.
So just the flow of all that and spitting game, I wanted to do that. I wanted to be Calvin T or Magic Mike, you know what I mean? Straight up.
So, you know, I ask you that Because I think from talking to some of the younger folks that are coming into the game, I shouldn't say younger, but newer people coming into the game, they're encouraged to take shortcuts. They're encouraged to, like, you know, you don't really need to write your rhymes and spend that time with it. And, you know, just listening to Rakim the other night, and he was like, man, I had to go to the library, and you coming up and saying, look, I got to be on par with these folks that have been putting in that work. The game has kind of changed, you know, from your perspective. I know you mentioned some of the younger folks that are coming in or newer folks that are coming in. What do you see that they're bringing new to the table, and what do you think might be missing, you know, that you're saying, man, I think they could really take it another level if they bring this aspect?
It makes everything easier.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me? You can sit at home and connect with the whole world. What
right.
we had to do was actually shake hands, meet a friend. We had to go to the hip-hop conventions. We had to go everywhere touring and actually meet a fan. You feel me? We didn't have Instagram or Facebook or whatever where you can reach everybody. We actually had to have human connection. And I think that's right. what's missing. You feel me? Just the human connection, getting out there, meeting the people, going to different regions, seeing what they have, and they seeing what you have. You know, it's a positive and a negative. I feel like if they sat in the studio, when they do a song with somebody, if they actually was in the studio together, things
right.
would be better. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's easier, but you're going to be lacking something. And that's just a human connection. You feel me? I had to get with Tupac. I had to get with E-40. I had to sit in the studio with Mac Dre. And we just talked and we soaked games and A-Ball and MJG, everybody. So it's just,
right.
you know, it's easier because you're able to connect faster, but then it's harder because you don't really have that connection.
Real talk. You know, I forget that Pac directed, was it your first video or just?
It was actually my second video, but it was the first video that he directed.
Oh, okay.
And it was called Ghetto Theme. We did
yeah,
LA,
I remember that. Yeah.
And that was, you know, the start of a beautiful, bigger than friendship. But I got connected with a Fame, with Doc, with Set, and everybody. And, you know, I've been, that's been my big brother ever since. But he didn't have to do that. There was
right.
no upside of rocking with Mac Moore. He did
yeah,
that
but you
out
know
of
what?
Love, and he saw
Pac,
something up in me.
But in all fairness, Pac was people's little brother when he first came on.
Oh, yeah.
So it was good that he... Yeah, so it was good that...
Him. I don't care who do what. Mm-hmm. Those are the biggest. You feel
right.
me? A lot of people don't give them a respect, but I remember what they did,
yeah.
and I know what they did. Shaq G is the only person who has a commercial with Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
MC Hammer has a plaque that is bigger than Diamond. You feel
right.
me? Nobody did it like that. You feel me? Straight up. MC Hammer is the something that you can look up to, and it comes from the bank. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But Dangerous Dane, you feel
oh,
me?
Oh, gosh, man.
These are people who we looked up to and wanted to be like, you know, Aunt Banks. I was able to record with them. Like, you know,
mm-hmm.
we had people to look up to, for sure.
I was going to ask you, you know, what's the one thing that you learned from Pac? Was it something that you picked up from him? Because you've been around so many.
Pay it back. You feel
I
me?
Hear you.
That's it. Pay it back, and just really recognize where you at in life. Recognize there's somebody looking up to you. Take that time. You feel me? To holler at them, because you never know who you who the person you're talking to. It could be the person to save the world.
We've been talking with Mac Maul. August 10th, you'll be at Yoshi's Illegal Business. There are two Illegal Business albums. So the first one, 93, 94. The other one is Illegal 2000. What's the concept behind
my biggest song, Wide Open?
Wide Open, yeah. What's the concept behind the Legal Business albums? And, you know, what do you remember when you were recording them or writing, you know, the rhymes for them?
I mean, I was still in high school. Mac Dre, Jay Diggs, and Kilo Kirk was set up by the feds, and they was taken away from us. You feel me? So it was basically up to me to keep the name alive, keep just everything that we represented alive. And if you listen to that record, I said Mac Dre, Kilo Kirk, and Diggs' name more than I said my own. Mm. You feel me? So it was just about representing and waving the flag. You feel me? Because we was up against a lot with the bank robberies and stuff like that. So I had to represent. The second record, I was, you know, being sued by Relativity, and I was going through a lot. But I found the loophole in my contract, and it was about songs that I pre-recorded with Kyrie, and one of those songs was Wide Open. I didn't want the record to come out, and it's my biggest song.
Right, so Relativity wanted it out, or you, and what was the...
No, Relativity was mad because, you know, I wanted to get out of my contract, so they was angry, but I had a loophole on my contract that said that they had no right over the excess songs that me and Kyrie recorded, and one of those songs happened to be Wide Open.
You know, there's, you have a number of hits. Wide Open, of course, you mentioned, but Sick With This is also a banger. You
man,
think that you think
if all about yeah. my Fetty, get right, Telly. You know what I mean? I've been dusted and disgusted. You feel me? I've been blessed,
right.
man. You feel me? Straight up.
In Ghetto Theme, which was it Ghetto Theme?
Yes,
yeah, Ghetto Theme.
Foster.
Yeah. You know, Mac Maul, as we close out. Live band book
August 10th at the historic Yoshi's in Oakland venue. It's going to be a beautiful time. I got some dope guest appearances, some Bay Area hit makers that's going to come out, and I'm going to do a dope show, man, for sure.
So you done everything. When do we see you in a movie?
I actually already did a movie, Me and JT, The Bigger Figure, Beware of Those.
What? Did I miss this? Was it?
You might have, but it's a Bay Area classic. It's basically the Bay Area version of I Got the Hookup or something like that. You know, shout out to San Francisco. I actually shot a movie with my cousin D-Shot, too. It's going to be coming out. It's basically about battle rappers and stuff like that. But more than the movies, I'm writing my second book. The first book is called My Opinion. The second book is called Fizz or Die.
Okay.
And it starts where my last book ends, and that's what I'm comfortable with. That with the being an author.
Okay. You know, you said you read a lot of the Donald Goins books. So do you start Oh wow. Okay. So do you start to maybe do fiction and build off of that legacy?
I'm such a fan. You know, I actually got in contact with his kids and stuff in Detroit because Detroit loves me. And I'm the type of person who, if it's good, don't mess with it.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm trying to make something great, like the people who I look up to, like a Donald Goins. You feel me? But to mess with something, you can't paint over the Mona Lisa. You feel me?
Right, right.
And
but I didn't mean it like that. You know, to take his thing. But when I say build off that legacy, you know, he had a body of work.
Definitely.
Yeah. So do you?
A screenplay called The Game of Stick, and it's deep like that. You feel me? But yeah, man, you know, I want my music to reflect like Donald Goins and Iceberg Slim, and also my writing. And if you read my book, My Opinion, it's just like a black girl love. You feel me?
Right. Mac Maul, his pen is thick. I like that line. For real.
The game is thick, the pen is thick. We're still with it, man.
There you go. We'll be on the lookout for you at Yoshi's. Want to thank you for hanging out with us. And still looking like, you know, you ain't changed, man. I know you said you had the grays, man, but,
Rochelle,
you know.
Man. Thank you, Dave. You know, these guys, man, 15-year-old kid, you feel me? And we still here representing Bay Area hip-hop, you know what right. I mean? Shout out to all those who represent it. And thanks for having me, Cubby.
No doubt. We're going to take a break on Hard Knock Radio. We'll be right back.
How happened?
Mac Mom.
Hey, what's up, Kyrie?
What's up, folks?
Aw, man, just keep it in a Mac fashion. Been riding up the coast with this super saucy.
Yeah, word up, I'm feeling it.
For sure.
I know she jig if you're digging on her like that.
Aw, yeah, she kinda got a Mac wide open, man.
I'm here, you peace, folks.
Yeah. When I first glanced at ya, I knew I had to have ya. Fly chassis with a sassy manner. She hold herself in a high standard. And hella suckers in the hood ain't ever in her. Young tender, failed bread born winner. I know you're busy, but you need to holler at your I won't scare you away with fast talking game. I wanna know if I can have you, but I start with your name. Who you with? You say that you ain't got no man. I'm trying to tell you, girl, I let you star on my team. A playmaker, make a player slow as pace up. The type of face a brother wanna see when he wake up. She work hard 9 to 5. Sometimes
Hard Knock Radio. We're rocking with Picasso.
What?
And Maya.
Who?
And my last name is Susana. Yeah, yeah.
David Barsamian of Alternative Radio, and you're listening to KBOO Portland.
Hi, this is Melissa Lesniak, the creator and host of That Vegan Show. On That Vegan Show, you will hear in-depth guest interviews on vegan-related topics, such as companion animals and